Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
And now, waiting for the Hall of Fame and desire to come to the ceremony, Steve Zabin.
Hey, hello, boys. Did you log every minute of every speech on Saturday night? What?
No.
Did you log every minute of every speech on Saturday night?
Hold on. Let me run this by you, and you tell me if I did or not. I recorded it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And when are you going to go back and plow through those speeches?
Well, I went back and I watched the one I wanted to watch. And I've watched it three times.
Jerry Kramer.
Yes. I watched it three times because I thought it was that good.
Three times. Wow. I
thought his whole piece, his introduction, his daughter, his speech, everything was spectacular. I just love that he's a Green Bay Packer.
But he didn't dance, Bob. He didn't preach.
Did I not see a dance?
He did not sweat through his jacket like Ray Lewis. He did not have a wireless microphone. How could you enjoy a boring-ass speech like that by some old white dude? I know. I'm just kidding, man. It was a good speech. I didn't watch any of them. Brian, did you watch any of the speeches?
No, I had Jerry Kramer queued up this morning in the studio, but I haven't been able to get to it.
Yeah. I don't know. This happens every summer at this point in the sports cycle. And I don't begrudge anybody who watched them all and loved them all. In fact, I had a buddy, Lawyer Dave in Atlanta, kept texting me about, yeah, Urlacher was good. And what the hell is Randy Moss talking about? And I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like, you got nothing else to do but watch speeches on a Saturday night? Speeches have never excited me. And they're all too damn long. Although you say that Jerry Kramer's was excellent. How long did Jerry's run?
His whole thing, from the time they did his piece, you know, like his
the video piece. Is 1858.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is, under 20 minutes.
So good. And that includes about a three-minute intro piece?
Roughly, yes.
Okay, yeah. So mm-hmm. 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was a great speech. He used the word wonderful a lot. He talked about team a lot.
Here, I got a couple of sound bites. See, what I want is, if you were to say you got a 10-minute limit on a speech, then I would sit down and I'd watch the batch of them. I'd watch an hour and a half with commercials of a Hall of Fame class and their speeches. I'm not going to watch, though, a 33-minute Ray Lewis speech. No, not now, not ever. What am I, one of Fidel Castro's subjects, Brian, that is to sit there for a two-hour-long stem winder? No. I want it nice and tidy. And then I want a supercut of just the best 2 minutes of that 10-minute speech. Give me three good cuts that last about 2 minutes. Now, I did find these on the NFL's Twitter feed, and I did find these on the NFL Network's Twitter feed. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with? Let's start with Jerry Kramer, shall we?
By the way, it's
an abomination it took this long for him to
Thank
get in.
You, because I said that earlier. This came about 30 or 40 years too late.
Yeah, and it did so because the process is utterly and hopelessly flawed. And I got into it with one of the Hall of Fame voters on Friday on my show, Jason Cole, formerly of Yahoo Sports, formerly of Bleacher Report, currently without a gig. And I don't say that to demean Jason's work. He does excellent work, but this is the state of the business. And he sort of took umbrage. I didn't bring it up, but he had heard me while he was waiting to go on take a swipe at the Hall of Fame voting process and the committee. And so he brought it up, and we got into it, and I said, look, bottom line is, I'm not saying you are, Jason, but I said, I know there are some very biased people in that room, and some people in that room who can be very petty about certain players. I know this for a fact. I'm in the media. I know these guys.
So
excusing it, saying it's not perfect, but it's the best system we've got. And he thinks it's better than the Baseball Hall of Fame voting, which basically uses brute force numbers. They have a ton of people that vote in the Baseball Hall of Fame. including ex-players, including ex-Hall of Famers. And his argument is that the ex-players, if you were to let them vote, they'd be every bit as biased and every bit as, you know, swayed by their friends and their buddies and people that went to their same schools getting into the Hall of Fame. That's what he claims. Go ahead, Bob, your question.
So what was the rub with Jerry Kramer? How does he not get in?
I didn't get into Jerry Kramer with Jason Cole specifically, but I know the basic rub of it, and it goes like this. One, sports writers are incapable of assessing quality of line play as to whether or not they should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah.
We have
not
no
a big splashy position.
Right. We have, it has enough stats either. We have no idea as to whether or not Jerry Kramer was or was not a Hall of Fame caliber offensive lineman. It's beyond our expertise. So that's step one. The writers should recognize we don't have the capability to assess this. Now, Cole argued to me that he talked to 300 people every year. In fact, he says he talks to 300 people every year to get their feelings on certain nominees for the finals. And I thought, that's impressive. But then I thought, why are we using you and others to be the filter for what is a basically a crowdsourcing exercise of, why don't you just let those 300 people vote? Because he was like, well, I ranked them, and I took everyone's opinion on these guys, and I took rankings, and so-and-so wasn't in the top 10. Well, then we should just give all of those 300 people votes. Also, it dawned on me, that's a lot of work. How much must Jason Cole get paid to do that much extra work for the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I'm guessing you do it for love of the sport.
Zero. So I'm always suspicious. Why
would we pay someone to do it when we can get them to do it for nothing?
Right. When sports
writers, it would be the foundation of our economy.
It would just diminish the position. So you do it because you love it, not because you're paid to do it.
Right. The sports writers do it because it's an ego trip and because it's a badge of prestige. It's what guys like Jason Cole hope will help him get his next gig writing about professional tackle football. I know other guys that hung on to that gig doing the Hall of Fame because they were in the same situation. And I don't blame them. But that shouldn't exist. It's a perverse incentive. If these sports writers were tasked with a lot of extra work, and not everyone does this where they talk to 300 people, but let's say they did a roughly equal amount of work. If you were to say, okay, you're going to do all this extra work, another 60 hours of work for no pay, and you are not going to be recognized as one of the voters, we're going to keep your name anonymous, how many sports writers would say, that's it, I'm out? 90% of them. You know it, and I know it. So they do this, sports writers, as a badge of prestige and as an ego trip. And anytime you start introducing that element of ego, bad things. Objectivity, rationality, and open-mindedness start to head for the exits. And it doesn't make the sports writers that are on the panel bad guys. It makes them human. And the other dynamic that comes into play is guys who have been out of sight and out of mind are not nearly as are not considered in the same light as others. If you are a ex player who just got out of the game and you were on the NFL Network and you were really good, you're as good as gold to get in the Hall of Fame. If you're a guy who hasn't been seen or heard from in a while or was passed over early on in the process like Jerry Kramer was or like our Joe Jacoby was, and if you're not on TV and if you don't look dynamic and sexy, it's harder to get in. This is nothing new in life. The strong-looking horse gets picked at the auction, and that's how it works in any sort of contest. Popularity contest, a attractiveness contest. Now, Jerry Kramer is a good-looking man in his now, what, 70s?
Yeah, I think Jerry's in his 70s, maybe even approaching 80.
So that's why he got passed over. And you go back and look at, you know, previous incarnations of votes, and you know, they only allow five guys per class, and that's part of the problem. There gets to be a logjam, and then you've got to wait and let somebody else come through. And although there was more than five this time, because I guess some guys
in.
Some guys get in through the second chance lottery, the veterans lottery, whatever. Not a lottery, but you know what I'm saying. And if you let guys go for 33 minutes, then, yeah, you're not going to have as many.
I had heard it one time.
Jerry's 82.
82, okay.
82, God bless him.
All right. So, again, cheated out of all those years and all those dinners and all those times you should have been at the Hall of Fame at this time of year. Absolutely robbed.
Yeah. Here's an anecdote about
tradition where we run three laps around the field. I ran a lap and a half, and my lungs seized up.
This, I guess, was in training camp. Bob, you watched the whole
season. He was coming back from the 65 season where he had had 9 surgeries. And he came back at 189 pounds. Now, he's an offensive lineman reporting at 189 pounds. And he was told to go home by Lombardi. And they went back and forth for 45 minutes. And he said, I can't go home. I'll never play football again if I go home. You'll never have me back. He goes, you'll replace me. He says, fine, I'll put you on defense. So Lombardi put him on defense. He said, fine. He went out, and this happened.
Wow.
Three laps around the field. I ran a lap and a half, and my lungs seized up. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get any air. I couldn't do anything at all. And Don Chandler, my teammate, kicker, came over to me and said, what's wrong, pal?
I can't breathe.
He says, how much did you run? I said, a lap and a half. But he said, I'll run the other lap and a half. We were supposed to run three laps, so I got one and a half in. So he ran the other lap and a half. And he said, you and I are going to set together doing calisthenics. So I said, what are we going to do? He said, well, you're going to do whatever you can do. If you can only do 5 setups and they do 50, I'll do 45. I'm a kicker, and I don't have to do anything if I don't want to. But if they do, and I don't normally... But if they do 50 push-ups and you can only do 3, I'll do 47. But between you and I, we'll do what one of those guys does. So Don Chandler sat beside me for 35 days, and he helped me every step of the way.
Good stuff right there, huh?
Oh, it was all good. I mean, if you're a Packer fan, that was all good. And then he went on to win championships in 65, 66, and 67.
Here's another one from Kramer about what contract negotiations were like back in the day.
Yeah. Had a big contract negotiations. I'm sure these young boys will be excited by the numbers and the whole process. We're playing in the Shrine Game, and the general manager for the Packers calls me over and says he would like to talk contract with you. Okay. So we didn't have agents. We didn't have any information that was printed. We didn't have any idea what the guys were making. So I go to my college coach and I say, what kind of money should I ask for? He said, Jerry, if you can get $7,000, you'll be doing really good.
$7,000
offensive lineman, 19
for an entire season.
Yeah, not for a game, Steve.
58.
$7,000.
Yeah, $7,000 for the season, right?
I went to San Francisco and went in to negotiate with the guys, and my general manager said, Jerry, we'd like to sign you to a contract. What are you thinking about? $8,000. Okay, sign here.
Whoops, looks like you undershot it.
Listen to the recovery, though. Listen to this.
There's... I left a few bucks on the table. But then I recovered quickly. I said, I want a signing bonus, too. He says, what about $250? Oh, that'd be great. That'd be super.
Wait, he's rolling his eyes at the $250. Oh, that'd be super great. But at the time...
He negotiated like Kramer did, for the lifetime supply of...
Marlboros.
What was it? Marlboros.
No,
yeah.
Coffee. Coffee from
coffee,
the...
Right.
Coffee. Exactly. He keeps going to look at it, Big Money. Do you have more on that?
Those are the two bites I have.
Because if you go a little further into that, he gets his first paycheck, and there's a $250 deduction. And he goes to the general manager, he goes, wait a minute, what's this $250 deduction? He goes, well, that's the advance we gave you.
Yeah,
on your
no
check,
bonus.
There was no bonus,
advance.
Jerry. That was
it
an
was
advance.
An advance.
Yeah, there was no bonus.
Just took it out of what they were going to give him anyway.
Oh my God!
So that's the old NFL, Steve. Yeah, there's no bonus. his kid.
The fact that the players had to walk in themselves and negotiate this.
Yeah.
He said he was in San Francisco, so was that where the Shrine Game was?
Yeah.
And then they just, had all those college guys there, so every
GM
team
was there.
Had a GM was there. Yeah.
Well, let's get this worked out before the game's over. What do you need, kid? $8,000? Fine, sign. Here we go. Wow. You're good. $8,000. You missed the part
here's a fourth round.
Now Local 5 Sports with Ryan Roden.
Oh, Ryan.
Tonight,
never mind.
There was another part of his speech, and you don't need to hear it. You can go find it later. But he was having a bad practice and had missed a block, and then he got like 20 minutes of berating. And then they get back, they're playing the defense, they're in pads, and he jumps off sides. And after that, Lombardi, he says, comes charging across the field, and he's screaming at him. He gets 10 inches from his face and is screaming at him. The attention span of a college student is 5 minutes. The attention span of a high school student is 3 minutes. The attention span of a grade schooler is, a minute. He goes, and you, sir, have none of that. And he says something like, explain yourself or something like that. Kramer says it was horrible practice. He's sitting in front of his locker afterward thinking, well, where am I going to wind up? What do I want to do, for a career after this? Because clearly I'm not cut out for this. He said Lombardi came in and rubbed him on the back of the neck and said, someday you'll be the best there is, kid. You'll be the best offensive lineman out there. And he said he just swelled at that point and just he took off after that. He said that if he could believe in him, I can believe in me. So
I'll go listen to this speech in its totality. It sounds like there's good stuff in there about the vintage NFL that is inconceivable to us.
Well, the guys who were sitting up there with them, like,
I didn't need to hear from Ray Lewis or Randy Moss or Brian Urlacher. Brian Urlacher should be in the Hair Transplant Hall of Fame because I got to say, his hair transplant has taken pretty well.
You
can still see that it's a transplant, but I'm like, okay, that's passable.
Steve,
right,
if you drive through Chicago, you can't go a mile without seeing a billboard for Brian Urlacher's hair transplant.
Really?
Oh, really?
Oh, they are everywhere. He and Ryan Sandberg are everywhere.
If I'm him, I would pay for my hair transplant out of my own pile of millions of dollars. It can't be that expensive for a guy who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I've asked some of my friends.
And that way I could just be like, what? No, I just sort of grew back. I'm growing it long. I used to shave it.
I asked some of my friends from Chicago,
what it costs?
What's Urlacher's deal with this hair thing? Apparently he's part owner of the hair transplant thing is what I was told. And so he's like,
so if it looks good on him, you can go, hey, you can get it yourself.
So I don't know
maybe I can get one.
I'll
be a player, Jerry, as Costanza said. I'm in the game now. I'm in the game. I got hair.
If you take 294,
okay.
If you take 294 around Chicago, you will see those ads
all over,
every half mile.
Here's Kramer. Here's in Kramer on the poem Invictus.
Oh yeah.
There's a poem called Invictus. That if you're going to be an achiever, you're going to be a doer, you're going to make something out of yourself, there are certain principles and certain qualities you need. Out of the night that covers me, dark as a pit from pole to pole, I thank the Lord above for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud.
I don't think they should have played the music here during this, but that's just
they didn't. They didn't during the speech.
Oh, they didn't. Okay, this is an after effect.
This is added. Fate, yeah.
My head is bloody but unbowed. In this pale of gloom and tears looms but the shadow of the glade. And yet the passing of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate, and I am the captain of my soul.
Good looking ladies too, crying in the audience.
Those are his daughters, I think.
And I believe there had to be a granddaughter who they showed crying because she was very young, obviously. But, how many daughters did he have?
I'm not sure how many. I know his daughter was on stage with him when he got in. She was the one who did the introduction on video. Here, you want to hear his Lombardi marching across the field? All right, here you go.
We're working awfully hard, and I'm having a bad day. We're all having a bad day on offense. We're on the 1 yard line and we're scrimmaging the defense for about 30 to 40 minutes and we're getting stuffed. And we're really having a difficult day. I jump off sides. No, I miss a block first. I miss a block and I come in for some attention. A little bit later, I jump off sides. And the coach comes running across the field, and he gets about 10 inches from my nose. He goes, Mister, the concentration period of a college student is 5 minutes, high school is 3 minutes, kindergarten is 30 seconds, and you don't have that? So where's that put you? Put me checking my shoe shine. Practice ended shortly after that. I go up in the locker room. He's out with Bart and the wide receivers about 40 minutes longer. And I'm sitting in front of my locker, shuck my hat, my shoulder pads off, and looking at the carpet and wondering what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. When I'm thinking about maybe another football team, maybe another job, maybe something else, and I'm deep in thought and totally wrapped up in it. And he comes in the door, sees me down at the far end of the locker, comes down, pats me on the back of the neck, messes up my hair, slaps me on the shoulder. Son, one of these days you're going to be the best guard in football. And a... Thank you. A surge of energy entered my breast and filled me up. It was his approval and his belief in me that he was passing on to me. And it made a dramatic difference in my life. Approval and belief, Mom, Dad. Approval and belief. Powerful, powerful tools. So from that point on, I wanted to play a perfect football game. If he believed in me, I could believe in me. And so I tried to play a perfect
game. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Awesome.
Love that. Tussled my hair. You're going to be the best guard from breaking them down to picking them up. Now, if you'd like to hear something less inspiring, here's Brian Urlacher.
Remember, as a good teammate. That's it. I want to be remembered as a guy who would do anything for his teammates, always go above and beyond for you. To the guys who played with me and the guys who played against me, just know how much I respected the game. I feel like I played it the right way. I had fun when I was out there. I respected opponents as well as my teammates and coaches. I may be one of the most competitive people you'll ever know. I want to win every snap, every game.
No way. Every snap, every game?
You never took a play off. Because we had Panos in here who told us, plenty of guys take plays off. Plenty of guys, yeah.
I competed to be the other person. I competed to be my best. It wasn't merely about the conquest. It was about the challenge. Every moment, every practice, every game, everywhere. I just love competing. Competition's in my DNA.
Boring. Where'd you buy that speech? You buy that speech on a discount rack?
You think you downloaded it?
Seriously.
Not great stories. Kramer's was all stories knitted together.
Well, you know
why,
Brian?
Because picked him up and helped him.
Vintage NFL stories and the vintage NFL from Kramer's era is gone and will never return because everything is too scrutinized now. There's too much access. There's too much coverage of it. It's too much. There's too much money involved. So, you know, this is what makes guys like Kramer getting in fun because you get to hear these stories about the league where the league once was 50 years ago. And then there was Ray Lewis. So here's a little dose of Ray.
I was not the biggest, the strongest, or fastest, but my goals were clear. My actions were and still are in service of those goals. I was a leader on the field then. I'm a leader in my community now. Now I've joined a new team, and my goal is clear with this team, to lift up my brothers and sisters, to inspire the leaders in this next generation to fight for love, not money, not fame, not success, not how many followers I got, but to fight for love.
By the way, the irony is that he was one of the guys busted for having the most fake followers on Twitter.
No.
Really? It's not about your followers, huh, Ray? Because he had bought a bunch of followers from this firm that gives you fake followers. Here's Brian Dawkins.
Read all this week. I suffer from depression. I went through it mightily my rookie year. I've suffered through suicidal thoughts.
And I wasn't just suffering through suicidal thoughts. I was actually planning the way that I would kill myself so my wife would get the money.
Wait a minute. Stop it. What the hell channel do we have on here? What do we...
Oh, man. This is it's Brian Dawkins.
Wow. Didn't expect to hear this.
Not yet.
Tell you what, Brian Dawkins is a sharp-looking dude. Looks really good in that hat he wore, too.
But what that pain did for me, it increased my faith exponentially. I have grown leaps and bounds because of the things that I've gone through, and that's one of those things that I went through. And when I say went through, that means I came on the other side of it. So for those who are going through right now, there's hope. You do have hope. There is something on the other side of this. Don't get caught up where you are. Don't stay where you are. Keep moving. Keep pushing through.
Okay. Not bad there. Randy Moss. I'll give you one Randy Moss. And then we could talk about T.O., who was not there, and now the Hall of Fame is considering a new rule about that. I'm not kidding. Here's Randy Moss first.
I'm not going to forget about you. Bill Belichick, I'm not going to forget about you. Thank you for being a friend.
They show him on the Jumbotron. He's like under the bleachers. You know, he's in a shirt smiling.
It wasn't always about football.
In fact, he's smiling. It's like, my face is going to hurt on Monday after this.
You show me how much I love the game. You challenge me every day to go out here and be great. You challenge me to be great, coach. And I'm sorry we did not bring it home.
Yeah, what happened there? 18-1. 18-1.
the Giants got a hold of him again that year.
Don't really mean anything to me. Football is a team sport. Football is a team sport.
Did he go in as a Patriot?
Not. You don't go in. Unlike baseball where they slap a cap on you.
Right.
With a logo. Oh, okay. In your bust. You don't go in as somebody in the NFL.
Put your pride in at the door, and you're not ashamed. For all my teammates, coaches, equipment managers that's in attendance today, I want to thank you all because it doesn't take one. It takes all 11 of us.
Okay. Got a team game. Heard that one before. That was not even, according to some, the most impressive Randy Moss Hall of Fame moment. There's a moment that they caught on the Football Life with Bill Belichick in which he convinced Belichick to go to a Halloween party at a roller rink.
You're not interested in that, are you?
In what?
Halloween party. Well, this is what it is.
Come dressed as the devil.
No, that's what we're doing. You might win the damn prize. Trying to, you know, get us a little DJ, get us a roller rink, and, you know, have us a good night. But like I said, you're more than welcome. Since it's Halloween, I mean, we don't go out no more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But we still have that.
It's a great holiday.
You know, yeah,
it's
you know
a great
what I'm
holiday.
Saying? So we're
candy and costumes.
Yeah. Right.
What? That's Belichick. Candy and costumes. Great holiday.
Look at this guy.
Now, you got to see the costume that he dressed up in. I should send you the link, Brian.
Wow. Looking for it already.
Man, y'all crazy, man. Man, y'all crazy. Man.
I swear I saw this. I can't remember what Belichick came as, though.
It was on Football Life. Belichick came as a pirate, and he had his new trophy girlfriend with him, the one that, you know, he dresses up in those Nantucket magazines with. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Linda Holiday is her name. And Randy Moss came dressed up as SpongeBob. Here you go, Brian. You're on.
I got it already.
You did. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Show Bob the picture of him up there with his girlfriend there. Pretty impressive.
There they are. Yep.
That Randy Moss in a meeting with Belichick could actually talk him into coming to this party. So, yeah.
That was a Football Life. Hard Knocks starts tomorrow night with the Browns.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So. And we'll see if Baker Mayfield will look any good. Real quick on T.O. So T.O. did his own thing in UT Chattanooga and, of course, ripped the writers and the process for not letting him in on the first try. And I'm with his point because I've said made my feelings known about how this is done. T.O. finished his career second in all-time yards and third in all-time touchdowns. That's a Hall of Famer. Like, forget everything else. Well, he cried and said, Tony Romo's my quarterback. Oh, and he did sit-ups in his driveway during a holdout with the Eagles. Who cares? Second in yards, third in touchdowns. Do you like yards? Well, yes, I do. Well, do you like touchdowns? Even more. Then this guy was as good, maybe the best ever. And sure, these numbers may get eclipsed in years to come because of the way the passing game is evolving and the way the game is going and all the rules changes. But how can you keep a guy out who was second in yards, third in touchdowns?
I guess I would have to see who else got who else went in on a second ballot. You know, not everybody gets in on the first ballot.
Second in yards, third all-time in touchdowns. How is that not first ballot?
I guess I have a hard time sympathizing and going, well, yeah, he did the right thing, right? because it took Jerry Kramer 40 some years to get in, so it's like you had to wait an extra year. Shut up.
And my
because Jerry Kramer had hands full of rings to go, and I'm not in the Hall of Fame. All he had to do was hold his hands up and go, and I'm not in. What are you doing?
Joe Jacoby, I had this argument with Jason Cole on Friday. Joe Jacoby has three Super Bowl rings, was part of the all-decades team in the 80s, four-time All-Pro, could play left tackle and right tackle, and he's not in the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
And
why don't
Jason Cole dismissively said Tony Boselli was better. And I go, really? Based on what? And he goes, he was. He just was. And I'm like, well, that's not an argument.
Right. That's not
an
argument.
Break it down for me why he's better. And he's like, well, I talked to 300 people, and they all said he was better. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's what you say, then that's what you say. I think the Hall of Fame voting should be less arguing, more voting. Like, in other words, we don't need to do presentations on all these players. We don't need to have a committee that sits in a closed room with no media access and decides. We just need people to vote. We need more people voting, including ex-players, ex-coaches, ex-GMs. And we need everyone's vote to be made public. Well, I don't want to get the hate mail if I vote. Oh, well, then don't be part of the voting.
Secret ballot.
No.
Why not?
No secret ballot. No, you have to. If you want to have the right to vote on a guy being in or out, then you have to be accountable for your vote. And if you want to say, here's why I don't think he should be in, then write it out and present it and put it on your website. None of the secret crap, man. Say where you stand and just say, here's where I stand. And you shouldn't change your mind. You should be able to determine yes or no, in or out, up or down, is a guy a Hall of Famer after 5 years of him being out of the game of football. It shouldn't be that hard. And there will be disagreements, but those disagreements will be generally banged out over the course of, you know, if you had 200 people voting, not 43 sports writers arguing, that I would trust the integrity of at least 200 people voting and not arguing, saying yes, he is, or no, he's not.
And if it's a secret ballot, there's no chance of Joe Jacoby punching this guy off his bar stool someday going, really? I'm not a Hall of Famer? I think I am.
Joe is the gentle giant. He would never do that.
One
guy who will never be given a speech like that is one Johnny Manziel. If you didn't see Johnny Manziel's CFL debut on Friday night, boy, you missed a doozy.
Really?
Well, he had an interesting thing to say about it. He said if he had been judged on his first game at Texas A&M, he wouldn't be where he is today. But I thought, but today you're in the CFL, so.
Four INTs in the first half.
Ooh.
And they pulled the plug.
Yeah.
And wait till you see the caliber of the INTs. In fact, it's the lead story on my daily Zabe
today. Okay,
Zabe.com. So click that first link, and you'll see the video embedded. Only one of the picks could remotely be said was not his fault, which is a tipped floater after he ran around and eluded about six guys. But his first pass, Brian, was a belly ball to a dropping linebacker into coverage. a mistake that, you know, the rawest of rookies make. Like, you can't throw that. He threw one over the head of a guy into an easy pick, and he threw one late while getting tackled for another pick. Four picks, 11 for 21, pulled at the half. I think it was 35-3. They were down. Now, granted, right. Montreal is the worst team in the CFL. And Mike Sherman, that dope, is coaching him. Oh. But still.
All right, you want to finish up with a Hall of Famer?
He wouldn't be where he is today.
Let's do it.
The worst team all in right, the here. CFL.
Coach Lombardi, to sum it all up, after the game is over, stadium lights are out, parking lot's empty, you're back in the quiet of your room, championship ring is on the dresser. The only thing left at this time is for you to lead a life of quality and excellence and make this old world a little bit better place because you were in it. You can if you will. You can if you will.
Love it.
Yep. There you go.
All right. All right, boys. Enjoy the rest of the week off. Bob, go kill it, as you always do. Whenever they're repairing your body parts, I know you will. And we'll reconvene.
A week from today. A week from tomorrow.
Very good.
All right.
All right, boys. Tell it
to
you.
Get out of here.
See ya.